For those that haven't seen those shows, those little yellow pill-shaped things are called minions. And if you know, all evil supervillains need to have their henchmen. If you've ever watched, if you go back far enough to remember shows like Get Smart, and the guy from Chaos always had his little henchmen, and right through, you've got these villains, but they've got their little minions. Now, the minions, their job is to do the bidding of their supervillain and follow all their orders. So the villain comes up with the grand plan of how they're going to conquer the world, and then the minions have to put it into action. But as you've seen, these minions, as good as they are, they have a weakness. Minions are easily distracted. They can be hard at work, as we see, building a doomsday device, and then they see a banana, and it all goes pear-shaped. Yeah, I was going to say banana-shaped. All of a sudden, they forget about the work they're meant to be doing, and they go chasing the banana. Now, I do have a few issues with the minions. Have you noticed that a minion looks like a banana? I guess it's like us as humans loving to eat jelly babies, isn't it? You know, like, it's almost like they're eating themselves. But and not only did they not get their work done, but they sort of created a complete destruction of the place in the process. Now, I think we can all relate to minions, can't we, in terms of distraction. Now, you're probably not going to be distracted by bananas. Chris has worked hard this morning and managed to grow some banana trees for us, so thank you to Chris for that. Maybe not bananas that distract us, but our world is full of distraction, isn't it? Have you really taken notice when you're driving on the road just how many signs there are nowadays? How many signs? Or if you're trying to watch TV or even YouTube now, the ads that keep coming up, and you're halfway through a YouTube video and suddenly an ad comes up and distracts you. That's terrible. Maybe you've got to do some housework or some homework or something really important, but you've got to watch Married at First Sight or something like that. I don't know. The distractions that people go through. I think one of the big distractions, of course, is the thing we carry with us now, our phones. I've heard just in the last week of a restaurant that has banned people using phones when they're in the restaurant so that people can actually talk to each other rather than sitting on their phones. It's amazing, isn't it? When with so many distractions, and God's concerned with us being distracted as well, because he wants us to keep our eyes fixed on him. He wants us to keep our eyes on Jesus so we can avoid the dangers of the world. So I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 14. Just as a side note, as a distraction point, have you ever seen the yellow Tic Tacs that got minions' faces on them? I love it. I've had them once, and it was nice. Just they were banana flavoured, but you eat one and you think, I just ate a minion. Makes you feel like a supervillain. Matthew 14 verse 22. This is just after Jesus had just fed the 5,000. So immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was alone there. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they explained. May God add his blessing to those words today. Often Peter gets a bit criticised in this story, but you have to admit, Peter had a lot of faith in this story, didn't he? How many of us would have had the faith to get out of the boat when Jesus said, come out onto the water? Now, I'm sure many of you have been like me in your day where you've been at a swimming pool or something and you've stood on the edge and you've thought, I'm just going to give this thing a try once. Anyone ever done that? Anyone ever given it a try to walk on water? No one's willing to admit it anyway. And Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on water as long as he kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. But I guess like the rest of us, Peter was distracted. Now, when you picture Peter and Jesus walking on the water, I think we often have this image of still water, but it was a storm. The disciples were terrified because they were worried the boat was going to sink. So the waves are going like this. So imagine trying to walk on waves like that. That's what they were doing. Surfing the waves, I guess. I don't know. That's probably why Jesus had long hair. He was surfing the waves. But when Peter took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the storm, of course, we know what happened. He sunk. And sometimes when we try to follow Jesus, we often think it's a choice between, I've got to choose between the storm or the distractions of life or Jesus. And some people go to the extreme and they may go live as a hermit or find a little cave somewhere and just withdraw from society. Some people do that. But this reminds us, this scenario reminds us that we don't have to choose between the storm or Jesus. It's a matter of what are we going to focus on? The reality is we can't remove ourselves from the distractions of this world. It's physically impossible unless we stick our head in the sand and then we'll probably find still something to be distracted about. I'm sure if you're like me that when you just sit quietly to spend some time with God, things come into your mind to distract you. Do you have that happen? Sometimes they're not unimportant things. Sometimes they're very important things, but these things fill our mind. And we've got these messages constantly bombarding us, advertising and people wanting us to buy their product or to buy their service. And it's just bang, bang, bang. Our mind is just bombarded by information. And more than any time in history, we process as human beings today more information than at any other point in history. It's just coming at us thick and fast. We can't withdraw from that. We can't remove ourselves from the distraction, but we can decide what we're going to focus on. Sometimes I get frustrated if I get an inbox in my email and it starts building up. There's lots of unread emails. I hate that. And it starts to distract me. And there's always going to be there's always going to be more things to think about, more things to need, more things to follow up. Our job's never done. But we can keep our eyes on Jesus and then we start to realise what's really important and maybe what's not so important. If I speak for long enough today, you might start getting distracted with your tummy rumbling. We can get distracted by so many things. And that's because Satan is out to distract us from following Jesus. He uses all these things to take our eyes off Jesus, to get us into a state where we start to get anxious, where we start to feel frazzled because we think we're struggling to keep up with everything. And so we're busy trying to juggle all the balls rather than focusing on Jesus. And I think the more we try to spend time with God, the more Satan throws distractions at us. It's amazing how in your normal day-to-day weekday, it's generally fairly easy to get up and get into the day, but it's amazing how often on a Sunday, it's a bit harder to get out of bed. Satan tries to distract us. Or when we go to pray or to read the Bible, suddenly things will come in to distract us. He doesn't want us to focus on Jesus, because when we focus on Jesus, we're going to be able to walk on water. And that's this is the amazing thing that we can take out of this, is that when we focus on Jesus, suddenly the impossible becomes possible. What we think we can't manage on our own, suddenly we can manage through Jesus. If you think of the biggest problem you're facing in your life at the moment, the biggest challenge you have, and it may seem impossible to you, but when we focus on Jesus, suddenly that impossible challenge becomes possible. Because we're not doing it in our strength, we're doing it in His. We can't live the life that God's made us to live if we end up getting distracted and taking our eyes off Jesus. We need to focus our eyes on Him and not turn to the right or left. We need to ignore our phones. We need to ignore hunger. We need to ignore peer pressure. We need to ignore the distractions of this world, and we need to follow Jesus. There are many things that want to distract you, but it's up to us to keep our eyes off the water and focus on Jesus. How many of you have bananas in your house at the moment? Now, bananas are a distraction for minions. I wouldn't eat one of these ones. They're not the most flavoursome. But maybe you could use bananas as a reverse distraction, an anti-distraction. Every time this week when you see a banana, I love the shirt, by the way. Every time you see a banana or you're eating a banana, use it to go, I'm going to focus on Jesus right now and just thank Him. Now, if you don't eat bananas, choose another fruit that you have in your house. If you don't have any fruit in your house, go get some. Or use something else. Use something else. But it's often the way to, one of the best ways to overcome distractions is to almost turn them on themselves and to go, okay, I'm going to use that to remind me to keep my eyes on Jesus. There's a little chorus that we sing a bit, and it's just simply, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's amazing that when we just focus on Jesus, those things that are worrying us just grow dim. Why do we close our eyes when we pray? We don't have to. You don't have to close your eyes to pray to God, by the way. But one reason people do is because it helps remove some distraction. Don't do it while you're driving, but then, you know, if you're sitting still or something, you know. Closing your eyes just is one way to remove distraction. Why do people, you know, we have this idea of prayer like this. You put your hands together. Why do people put their hands together when they pray? It removes another distraction because you're not fiddling with stuff. Kneeling can help with that too. Like, it's thinking of ways that remove distractions so that we can focus on Jesus. So I'd encourage you, when you go to spend time with Jesus this week, turn your phones off. Turn off any distractions. Do whatever you need to do to remove as many distractions as possible so that you can focus on Him. You may not be able to walk on water as a result, but you'll suddenly discover that those things in life that are really worrying you will suddenly not seem so bad anymore, because you know that Jesus is even bigger. He's bigger.